check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church, but I'ma keep tapping return. I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winnings to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russ and Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I am Frank in the chat, and I have a trading problem.
I'm Zach Reed, and I have a trading problem.
I'm Jay Felicio, and I love fishes because they're so delicious.
Smile.
That's just great. What's up, everybody? Welcome to session 403 of the TradeX podcast, where even though the network went away, the DAP is always here to stay. Drop a DAP, guys. There we go. Let's go. And as everyone can hear, Rocky's out tonight. He had a little bit of family stuff, so he'll be back next week. But Zach is in the co-host chair with me. Thank you, Zach. How are you?
I'm good. I'm fresh off of 30-degree Florida for a week.
Oh my gosh.
So I came back to 15-degree Maine. So it's been nice. Yeah.
That's just mean. And our guest tonight, I couldn't find an excuse not to be on with him this time. So I'm here with him this time. Jay Felicio at G-Man Jay. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. I was just thinking, I was like, you know what? There must be something like I've cursed the show because every time somebody's not here, either that or it's just don't want to give me the full experience because on with everybody would just be too much. But yeah. No, it's funny you say that about 30-degree Florida. It's been about we got hit with a second winter storm in North Carolina. And it's been like in the teens and in the single digits. Thankfully, this time it was just snow, but it's been a bit chilly down in these parts too.
Yes. Before people in the North roll their eyes at that, as a guy who went to school in Texas for 4 years, the South isn't built for that. Yeah. It's a lot worse.
And we've honestly gotten a lot better when it comes to just snow.
Yes.
But what people don't realize, it's the ice. We always get that wintry mix because we're right on that line. And we've just now, within the past 5 years or so, got salt trucks. But it's the ice that freezes and gets on those back roads where the sun doesn't hit. And it takes days it hasn't been over freezing in like 4 days, I think. Mm-hmm. So the sun doesn't hit those spots, black ice will do a lot of damage.
Yeah. It hit 20 degrees in Chicago this week and people were like, shorts and t-shirts. So it's been rough. Before we get started, we'll do who you are, what you do and where they can find what you do. Jay, why don't you go first and then I'll let Zach go.
Yeah, so Jay Felicio, you can find me on Twitter and Blue Sky and pretty much everywhere else, G-Men Jay. Mostly on Twitter, though. I'm the lead football analyst, fantasy football analyst over at QB List. During the season, I do a start-sit series where literally go through every game and hit on every single player with some sort of blurb. Sometimes, it is just a picture of Merman standing there when you're talking about Adam Trautman, things like that. But, we're going for the type of vibe, like honestly, like you guys have that it's, good information, but it's like you're just sitting and talking with your friends and that's the kind of vibe that we're going for. But I am going to be doing stuff all through the off season, podcast. I'm going to start boosting up our YouTube and also I've got some, I just dropped a mock draft and my initial rankings, which I got a lot of flack for because it was pre a couple of these hires and I was very heavy on it. If we don't know who the coach is going to be, what the offense is going to look like, I can't rank certain guys high. So
I agree with you, by the way. You can't pre-rank someone with the thought that this might happen. So I agree with
you. I probably sounded like a homer because I kind of did that with Monken going to the Giants because it seemed like it was all but assured. And so I'm going to have to eat some crow there. But
Zach, why don't you drop your stuff?
Yeah, so I am at Tacit Assassin 13. I'm over on Blue Sky. The big thing I do now is Fantasy Cares. We do the Wednesday night hangout at 9:30 every Wednesday, and I'm involved with everything that Fantasy Cares does, and so that's near and dear to me, and really an honor to be a part of that whole thing, be a part of the community that does all of the good stuff. And then coming up soon, probably another couple of weeks here, we'll be starting on Thursdays. J Mike and I will be reprising the Dynasty Dummies rookie Hootenanny. And so we'll be doing that over on the Fantasy Cares feed and also the Dynasty Dummies feed, and then on the Dynasty Dummies podcast feed. So that'll be starting in a couple of weeks here on Thursdays. So
we get all our listeners in the on Tuesdays back because Zach and J Mike aren't taking them all anymore. So
so my favorite part about that is we get to come on.
Yes, yeah,
you're, because we're not on Tuesday, so we have Tuesdays free where we can come hang out and, talk rookies and do this. So
yes, Zach and J Mike are on our rookie roster, is what I'll call it. Which will start in the first week of March. And we'll probably have them back for another 3-hour episode after the draft, like we did last year, just to really drive it to Rocky. That'd be funny. But let's get to the news. And I'm happy and sad at the same time. We had our last coaches. We're done, I think, for the most part. Clint Kubiak to the Raiders, Mike LaFleur to the Cardinals. He will call plays. I have in 2 years as OC for the Jets. He was 27th and 28th in points per game, but 2nd and 4th in pass rate. And Todd Monken is going to coach the Browns in the most mishandled coaching search of all time. He will call the plays. It was announced a couple hours ago. So the way I kind of wanted to frame it to you guys, and Jay, you can go first. Who's the biggest winner and loser from these last couple hirings for fantasy?
I would probably say Ashton Jeanty, having Kubiak and not going with Pete Carroll's gum-chewing 1980s style of run. Now, I will say, before this season, I would have been even more excited, but the way that he utilized both Zach Charbonnet and Kenneth Walker in the offense when anybody with one eye could see that Kenneth Walker was the much more explosive.
This is what scares me. Yeah.
And I could see them, you know, wanting to draft because they, you know, it's as an amazing talent as he is, they didn't draft him. So, you know, they always want to bring their own guy in and put their stamp on things. But regardless, Jeanty has the talent, as we saw, even with the limited touches, to be an RB1 overall finisher. So I would say, of the names, I would say Jeanty's probably the one that popped up in my mind first.
Zach? Yeah, I mean, that's a hard agree. I mean, that's revamping that offense and having somebody that will get Jeanty in space. And also, you assume they're going to draft the quarterback, so Kubiak gets to kind of have his pick of who's going to run his offense, what his offense will look like, and Jeanty being the best player in that offense. That's I hard agree with Jay there.
Yeah. Zach, do you have a biggest loser then, since you agree on the winner?
I probably Monken ending up just him ending up in Cleveland. Like, Cleveland is such a terrible situation.
I
know.
And get wanting to be a head. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but no. I get me wanting to be a head coach, but like, is being a head coach in Cleveland like even really worth it? Like,
I don't know if you saw, they asked him about Sanders and whether or not he'll have the, and he's like,
he didn't
gonna commit. Be a competition. But I like him. Like,
yeah.
No, you don't.
Yeah. Did you see when they first met, he was like, yeah, we were looking to draft you last year. And like somebody looked it up and the only place it would have made sense was like the 5th round. Yeah. Like that's not really saying a whole lot here.
No.
Yeah, we would have drafted you if you fell to the 7th round, Shador. So I was considering drafting you. I have one winner and one loser. The loser here is, I think, is Sam Darnold. And I said this last week that if they kept Kubiak, I would be buying. But now I'm kind of scared because Darnold was built for this offense where it was kind of run first and then play action. You have JSN. I would be scared of that now. My sneaky winner, and it's because their guy didn't get hired. Am I the only one who likes the Titans right now? Because Dable is now the OC. Ward is there. They have the fourth pick. The line is good. They've invested in it for a while. The Titans are building something very sneakily, and they have the most cap space in the NFL, and I think we could look up in 2 months and see a very impressive offense. Would I go buying Cam Ward right now? Probably not, but I think it's absolutely something to monitor. Do you guys agree or disagree? Jay, you can start.
I wholeheartedly agree. And actually, even before this, Cam Ward's stock was so low. I bought him about, I want to say, week 13 or so. I'm going to look up and see what the trade was. I don't remember, but I remember trading for him. I think Dable is going to do wonders with him and actually let him throw, you know, play to his strengths. You know, say what you want about Dable as a head coach. I don't think he was
meant to be a head coach.
Right, right.
Yeah.
He can work with a quarterback. And look what he's the one who pounded the table for Jackson Dart. Look what Dart was doing under him. I hate the way things worked out. I'm still happy the Giants have Harbaugh, but I think Dable is a fantastic coach, especially offensive coordinator, and is the perfect hire for Cam Ward's development. And yeah, like you said, there's so much to like on this team, and everybody is just sleeping on them. And they're going back to a more Oilers style jersey from the rumors. So you got to give that. That's a plus. That's a plus. I will say I heard they're getting rid of the Flames though, and I like the Flames. Like it feels like that's like, I know it's a little dated, but it's like that's their thing. It's like the Panthers with their weird shoulder stripes. Like, yeah, it's kind of ugly, but it's their thing. It's, I don't know.
I think it's going to end up looking like Troy's logo. If anyone who doesn't know what University of Troy looks like, or Troy University, whatever, go look it up. It's going to look like that. I think it's going to have that like kind of sword T thing.
Well, they used to use that when they first moved. I was going to say, were they moved or were they expansion? But yeah, and I love that logo, that sword logo. I liked it better than the original. But yeah, I think if they do that, I think they'll be okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to see if
Zach, I know you have your big rookie book in front of you. Did you like Ward? And do you think if Dable comes in and fixes him?
I did not love Ward. And look, Dayball has done, so you can't argue with his body of work as like the quarterback whisperer. You can't argue that Josh Allen took steps forward and Dart was good under Dayball. Like you can't argue that. Cam Ward was still a sub 60% completion this past year. I will say a little better than Caleb Williams, but still sub 60%. And so that to me is, I agree with you that it is a good thing for him. I am still tepid. Like it's a positive, but like I'm not jumping 2 feet into the pool. Like I'm still sitting on the steps with, you know, my ankles in, letting myself get acclimated. So yes, a good hire should be good for Cam Ward, and definitely the Titans are set up well. But there are a lot of things that he does. I mean, one of the things that drives me crazy, and it did with Ward, and it did with Caleb Williams, but Ward especially would look like the little brother playing Madden against the big brother in college, where like when he starts dropping back and he gets pressure, he just keeps dropping back. And it's not like Tecmo Bowl where you can just
– I don't know. Caleb kind of looks like Tecmo Bowl right about now.
But Caleb turns his back. And yes, that's the thing. Like he yes, he made that great throw, you know, to the back corner of the end zone. Like it was incredible. But also, like, what the heck? Like never put himself in a position. Yeah. And so, like, to me, those traits for a quarterback to try to work that out in the NFL where it's not a developmental league is is really hard for me to be like, yeah, I'm buying it. Like,
yep.
So yes, like coaching matters, but they're still on the sidelines, and the guys, you know, wearing the uniforms, wearing the helmets are the guys making the plays. And if they're still falling back into bad habits, it's still ugly.
Mm-hmm.
And I did find that trade. If you guys want me to bring it up, really, yeah, I forgot it was a monster trade. And it, for a little context, Superflex League, and my starters were, I had four quarterbacks. I had Jaden Daniels and Jackson Dart. They were both hurt. I'm like, I'm playing for next year, whatever. So I sent Tua Tagovailoa, T-Law, Jalen Waddle, Jordan Addison, and Tet McMillan.
Ish.
I told you it's a monster. For Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Jaden Higgins, Cam Ward, and Jalen Milroe. So I was lacking in the wide receiver. That was the main point of this, was to get two potential stud wide receivers.
So X Milroe, you gave two quarterbacks, three quarterbacks away, and got one or two quarterbacks.
Two.
And one.
But now I have Jaden Daniels, Jackson Dart, Cam Ward.
So I'm fine with that. So yeah, I do that. It's
basically taking a shot on buying low Cam Ward as my QB three.
Yeah.
And you know, if he getting can neighbors. Become a QB two,
yeah, get Nabers back.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's great. Just on Mike LaFleur, since we didn't touch on him, my other winner was whoever's playing quarterback, because it sounds like he's gonna sling it. So
I mean, part of that too is if you're bad, you throw. Like, you know, if you're losing games, you have to throw. So the Jets are losing games.
The last three offensive coordinators for the Rams were Matt LaFleur, Liam Cohen, and Kevin O'Connell. So that's a pretty good track record.
Yeah.
I'm not going to count the passing game coordinators because that hurts my argument. So let's just go through the coordinator hirings. Matt Nagy, OC of the Giants. Yuck. Declan Doyle, OC of the Ravens. He was the OC of the Bears, but that was Ben Johnson's offense. John Mannion, OC of the Eagles from the Packers. And Grizzard is the passing game coordinator. I really like that hire, but we'll get to that. Bills hire Pete Carmichael as OC. He's a longtime Sean Payton assistant, so it's good to have kind of an adult in the room with Joe Brady being like 35. And Davis Webb's going to take over his OC duties for the Broncos. The play caller's not determined yet. And Petzing will call. They announced he will call plays for the Lions. It will not be Campbell. So Dynastud asked a question. He said, how far did Dart just fall in your QB rankings, both redraft and dynasty? And he asked, do I switch team fandom now? So Jay, as a Giants fan, is he switching team fandom yet? Are we at that level?
No. And I saw the comment, and and I think he feels the same way. I'm also a long suffering Knicks fan, although it's been better the past few seasons. Yeah. I fall into the, I can't do it. I can't switch teams. I've wanted to on a few occasions, not with the Giants, but obviously with the Knicks. And actually I was before all this NIL stuff, and Duke actually had a decent football team. Like, I was like, okay, maybe if I want to get into college football, maybe I'll just find a team. To really, because for me, any team in any sport, the point is to try to win a championship. And I think the reason I've never got into college football is because I'm a Duke fan. And if anybody who knows Duke football in the 90s and early 2000s, like,
hey, ACC literally, champion Duke. Okay.
That is true. That is true. Thank you, NIL money. it was like a national championship if they won a game. I mean, they would go 2-3 years winning one game. So it's a long way of saying you can't even this. I don't think this is going to be that bad. Am I excited? Absolutely not. But I think the hate has gone a little too far. Can't switch. The only way I say you could change teams is if there's something like, you know, say the Browns trading for Deshaun Watson, something along those. I think you guys are catching my vibe, that type of thing. A terrible personal decision, things like that. But
yes,
I think it's going to be okay. I'm definitely, you know, I initially wanted Cliff Kingsbury, but I feel like he's really become that guy that it's kind of like, and it's funny you said you had the Madden thing, because I was, when I was thinking about this question, that's what popped up in my head for Cliff Kingsbury. It's like, he's the guy you play in Madden that first quarter going into the second, you're like, I can't stop this guy. There's nothing that he can do wrong. And then you start to notice a pattern and you pick up on it. And then the guy can't get a first down in the second half. So I think he's extremely talented. I think he's a great coordinator, but he's not been able to adjust his offenses once he gets figured out. So would I have been, I probably would have been happier with that hire, but I think we're going to be okay with Nagy. I mean, he did a decent job with the Bears. So he had him in the playoffs with, I think Mitch Trubisky was the quarterback then, and the double doink game. I mean, he would have won a playoff game in Chicago if it wasn't for that.
He was in the playoffs twice. He lost to the Saints, and or he beat the Saints or whatever, like 9 seed or whenever, the first year of the 7 seed.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Is that was it the losing record that made the playoffs? Was that the first one?
And Mitch won Nickelodeon Valuable Player for the first time ever. And it was just, it became such a meme after that. Mitch, that was like Mitch's biggest achievement. So, yes, you're right. Nagy went to the playoffs twice. I will have to find stats on Nagy when he was running the offense for the Bears, but I agree with you. I don't remember being that terrible, but I weirdly trust Harbaugh with this. And if Harbaugh said this was a good move to the point where he lost his OC after basically losing his job trying to keep his OC and said, this is the guy who I want to bring in, I weirdly trust that. And if that's just is what it is, then that's fine. Go ahead, Zach.
Yeah. Oh, I was just going to say, out of curiosity, where do you guys have Dart? Like, part of the question was, does Dart drop in your rankings? Where do you have Dart in your rankings? Sorry, I don't mean to put you on the spot.
He's outside the top 12 for me, because in the rankings I use, which is Football Guys, because my DLF account's all over the place right now, Lawrence and Purdy are behind Dart, and I don't believe in that. So he's outside the top 12 for me. I would take Nick's and Dart kind of side by side. That's kind of where the line is. I would take Dart over Dak, Stroud, Baker, Goff, Darnold. We're going down the list now. So he's 13 for me.
When I assumed it was going to be Todd Monken, I think anybody that knows me, I am, just because I'm a Giants fan, I am not the type to work my fandom into my analysis. Mm-hmm. Honestly, if anything, I am harder against Giants players because I want to make sure that I'm not considering my fandom in any of these situations. But I had Jackson Dart at 6 with Monken. I was really excited to see what he could do in that style of offense. Now it's not going to be 6. I would probably drop him to about 10.
Do you have Lawrence or Purdy behind him?
Lawrence one spot behind him. I like to think more in tiers. I would have those guys in the same tier.
Right, of course.
I would put – I probably would put T-Law one spot ahead of him. I don't think I could do it with Purdy, though.
Is he like the top Purdy of that tier, Dart, whatever tier you have him in?
I haven't readjusted for the Nagy news yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say he's probably more of the top of the tier third-ish tier versus the – yeah, I think that's fair. I haven't got to rework. I will have new rankings coming out after free agency opens up. I'm going to do some rookie ranks after the combine and then update my rankings after free agency, which isn't that far away.
I know. Zach, what would you think of Dart? Did you drop him down?
No, I mean, I have him right. So I don't even do rankings.
No, I know, but you have kind of a head rankings.
But yeah, I mean, he's right in that. He's probably between 10 and 14, so you know, somewhere in that range. And the fun part about Dart for me is, like, I had him as the quarterback 1 in that class last year. So he fell because people were on Ward. Yeah. And so I end up getting Dart in several spots fairly, mm-hmm. like, cheap. Yeah, which
I got him even in Superflex. I got him in the mid second.
Yeah.
I mean, in a lot of places. Like, I was, I'm with you. I was ecstatic to get him where I got him.
But I need him to slide. I need him to slide.
I know. He needs to chill out.
Oh my gosh.
But like,
I was saying, like, the other kind of slide, I actually think for redraft, I might actually have a shot at getting him now because where he was going to go, I'm not taking that risk. I'm not buying all the risk and, you know, taking him. But if I can get him in back end QB1, high end QB2, I'll take that all day.
It's so much fun for me to watch him, what he does with his legs and how he keeps plays alive. And like, it's he does some things. And I know people didn't expect that to translate, but it football is pretty much football. I mean, it did pretty well. So.
Just go out of bounds.
Yes. Don't get hit.
And I will say, I do remember Lamar taking some hits like that early on. And Lamar learned how to. So maybe Harbaugh can have those guys talk.
I was going to say, Harbaugh's going to teach him how to do it. Yeah. So. On the Eagles stuff, my takeaway from this is they're going to pick up the pace. And because, man, the Packers play fast and the Bucks played fast. So if they hired both of them, it sounds like they're going to pick up the pace. And that, to me, again, he has to stop being a nozzle, but A.J. Brown is probably staying because he fits kind of that. Devontae can't do it all by himself. So we'll see. The last piece of news, the Vikings fired their GM, apparently after a very bad press conference. And Dan Rossini put out some rationale. You can believe it. You cannot. Misses in the draft played a large role in firing. I think any Vikings fan would tell you that. Failing to secure Daniel Jones was a big deal and opted against signing Aaron Rodgers. So, Jay, is JJ McCarthy in trouble now, or are we? I think O'Connell played more of a role in that draft pick than people are trying to let on.
And I think that actually later this afternoon, I think I saw a tweet about that.
Yeah.
Scrolling that. Yeah, I'm with you. I think they're going to do the traditional, you know, this guy's really only had 1 year. So let's give him the first chance, but I don't think they're going to go into the season with a Carson Wentz as the backup. I think they're going to, you know, maybe a guy like if he does, I think he's going to wind up with a starting job, but maybe a Mac Jones, maybe, you know, somebody along
those lines.
Jameis. No, Jameis. I want Jameis. I love Jameis. But I think they'll wind up with somebody if they don't draft somebody high that slides, like that veteran, you know, somebody in that Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield role, you know, mold of failed hop top prospect that maybe could step in and actually still be a starter.
Here's a wacky one. They trade for Stroud. It's not going to happen, but that would be awesome. He would fit that offense.
I mean, I could see him going after Kyler Murray.
They can't afford
him. I would say that's a lot of money.
That's a lot of cap.
No, that's right. That's right.
He has like a $50 million deal or something.
I just think what would be cool.
No, yeah. I know.
The rule of cool. They should do a salary cap. Like, yeah.
The real answer that people are drawing is Cousins going back. Because they're going to probably cut him, it sounds like.
Yeah.
It's not, as of this week. I didn't put that in the news because it's like a rumor, but it sounds like Cousins isn't staying. So
that man has made so much money.
I know. He's getting paid $85 million to leave. Isn't that great?
He's making it rain Coles cash.
Don't you wish you were as bad at your job that you get paid $85 million to leave?
I will say, man, if they really were upset with him taking paternity leave during the draft, then you know what? I wouldn't want to be a part of that organization. I don't care what anybody says.
I don't think that was actually the reason. I think they just kind of found a reason.
But that was such a wild report too. And the
is that Diana too? It must have been.
I don't know. I saw it come across the timeline, but like the ripples within the NFL about that. Like,
yeah,
man, like
there's still plenty of the good old boys club in the NFL.
It's so frustrating to me that I mean, and it's not just the NFL. Like that's work culture is. Yeah. You know, I got written up at my job because I hadn't been there long enough to have vacation. And so when I took personal business and we have so much personal business. And when my son was born, I took personal business and I got written up. Like, so I don't know. It's just such a weird culture to me that like we put work that,
yeah,
that far ahead of everything.
Yep.
That was Diana too. She's apparently all over this. So, anyways, last week I said I wanted to kind of make this show more trade centric. So I'm going to introduce a new segment without Rocky, but I trust and love the two people on the screen. So we're going to try this live. We are going to do a segment called What's He Worth? And every week I'm going to come up, or I'm going to have the chat come up with, or comments come up with, three players that people are trying to figure out what they can trade for him, trade away for him, etc. And this week's theme is QBs with uncertain futures. And the first one we are going to do is Kyler Murray. So, Jay Felicio, what's he worth?
Not much. No, this one's really tough. And for me, it's one of those where I think he's worth a back end first, but I wouldn't give up a back end first. Mm-hmm. I would trade a middle to high second for him. I was trying to figure out, you know, like a, you know, a veteran quarterback at plus, you know, at buy low, you know, sophomore prospect or whatever, but there was nothing that felt right with Murray other than, you know, somebody who wants to take a shot on quarterback. If you can, I couldn't give up a first for him, but I feel like that's what I would need in return to get rid of him, if that makes sense.
See, yeah. To me, this is because I don't necessarily value seconds and thirds the way other people do. This is a bet that I would make where I think Kyler Murray is a decent NFL quarterback. I think that in a situation where he's starting, he's a top eight scorer. You know, I don't know that necessarily you're going to rank him as a top eight player, but I think you get top eight production. And so he is the type of player where I might throw, I don't know, somebody that I don't necessarily believe in, but has a lot of hype. Somebody like
JJ McCarthy.
Well, I mean, but I'm not even going to throw a quarterback at him because I don't think a lot of people are viewing him as a viable quarterback at this point. I think they're viewing him as a man without a country and with no way out of Arizona because of the contract. And so this would be something where if I could throw Jaden Reed and a pick or I don't mean to pick on the Packers, but like Golden.
What about
like
your
Golden?
Least favorite Charger?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Yeah.
Because Quentin, the McDaniel thing's got him going right now.
And so like that sort of thing where if I could get a quarterback for a wide receiver that I think is a roster clogger and a pick that I don't really care about, I'm going to be happy. And if it doesn't hit, that second round pick is a 25% value proposition anyway. Mm-hmm. So you didn't really, you know, yeah, you lost, but you didn't really lose much. And if Murray hits, and you get that top eight production out of a quarterback that you traded a roster clogger in a second for, or a roster clogger in a third for, man, you're loving that.
Yeah, for me, I think it's easily 2 seconds. I think it's easy to say I would trade a first, like a late first, but I'm not sure if actually staring down a trade, I would be able to pull the trigger on it. And go ahead, Zach.
But also, if you're looking at this particular draft class, It, to quote Yogi Berra, gets late early out here. Mm-hmm. Like this class is not as deep as I don't even think it's as deep as people want it to be. Like I'm looking at running backs. I'm seeing maybe three or four guys that I really like. I'm looking at wide receiver going, there are a couple that maybe, but like nobody, like people are talking about, you know, like the Jeffersons and the AJ Browns and the JSNs, the guys who are really easily identifiable in draft classes, there's not one of those in this class.
Like, even Love, really?
He's running back. Like, that's
different. Oh, I thought, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm talking wide receiver. Yeah. Okay. No, I think Love is very good. I think Love is in the kind of Jenty Judkins tier, like last year, where like he's good.
Okay.
And I think that there are a couple other running backs in this class that I really enjoy. But the depth in this class just isn't there. And so if you're imagine if you are one of those top two or three or four teams in your league, you made the playoffs, you had a run, maybe you won your championship.
I like
where you can throw your first round pick and get a top eight producing quarterback.
Yep. To someone who's rebuilding and is scared Kyler's not coming. Yeah.
You absolutely do that.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. And we're going to have a rookie question later. So we'll pull it back for now, but I agree with that completely. Next guy's Daniel Jones, and Jay, you can start again. The uncertainty, I don't think, is that he is a Colt next year. It sounds like it's more likely than not that he is. The uncertainty is what he looks like coming out of this injury. And while you're talking, I need to go back and look at the Daniel Jones trade I made, but what's he worth?
This is the guy that I think I would go after that second or third year back or wide receiver that had some hype, that, you know, somebody who needs a quarterback. You know, you got to find the right, obviously you have to find the right fit, but like Trey Benson, he's a couple years older, but a Javonte Williams, like a back that's that mid to high end, mid RB2, Trey Benson's probably a little less, but that has that inkling of hope that he still can make that jump. And you probably have to throw in a roster clogger or a late second or something like that. But the main thing I would be looking for is some sort of post-type sleeper that's second, third, maybe even fourth year. You know, if you're talking quarterbacks, maybe like 8-9 year post-type sleeper. But just one of those type of guys. Like I think I would Bashel Tootin and something like.
I gave up Woody Marks for him straight up.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I think, though, the play with Jones, because it is the Achilles, like, I don't think you even need to make this trade now, because he's gonna sit on somebody's, like, roster, and depending on how things shake in the early season – if the team that is rostering him like falls apart, now all of a sudden you can throw picks and you know, young lottery ticket players at him. If that team starts to produce, then you can figure out what pieces that they need, and then it's a, you know, something like a Woody Marks or a Bashel Tootin. Like it. To me, it's not necessarily with Jones what he's worth, because I think you guys nailed that. Mm-hmm. But it's when is the best time to go get him, because I think you're going to have a lot more information about the team that rosters him, and he's not going anywhere for, you know, the first 3, 4, 5 weeks of the season, you know, whatever. And then even when he comes back, you know, that's a dynamism sapping injury. So he's not going to be the running mobile Daniel Jones for a minute. And so, you may end up even getting a deal on him, but it's, mm-hmm. I think you guys hit the what he's worth, but I think then you kind of can finagle when you make that move and get more information.
Jay, I feel like I cut you off before with the Woody Marks thing, but I just wanted to add that since you were talking about the running backs. But anything to add on
kind of what you were on? Okay. That's perfect. That's like you said, that's right in the value that was in the range I was thinking.
Okay. The last one's the hardest one. Tua Tagovailoa. Is he a Dolphin? We don't know. I've always said they should just trade Tua for Kyler straight up. That the contract monies are the same. Just let him restart. But, Jay, what's he worth?
A half-eaten ham sandwich with no mayo and slightly browned
a dry ham
lettuce
sandwich.
Yes.
Wow.
I like Tua. I like the talent. I like the guy. I wouldn't trade for him under almost any circumstance. I would value him similar to Daniel Jones, but down a tier or two of player.
Mm-hmm.
Like really those long shots, J.K. Dobbins, Rashid Shaheed, something like that. Like I'm as much as it hurts to say, I'm out on Tua at this point, unless he winds up in the perfect scenario. It's just, I really worry about, you know, him taking another big hit. And I traded for Tua while he was out last year because the value was so low. And then I got out because he just doesn't seem like the same guy.
He needs such a specific set of offensive players around him too. Like he needs to get rid of the ball in like 2.25 seconds or he is in a lot of trouble. And that was the beauty of bringing in Tyreek Hill and having Waddle when they drafted Waddle, because you had two guys who got out quick and got open quick, and it just hasn't been there. He's really scary. I still like him better than I like McCarthy, but he's really scary.
You just made the point I was going to make for me. This is who should go to Minnesota.
Yeah.
This is who should go challenge JJ.
Yeah. I think Jefferson and Addison could probably get out quick.
Oh yeah. And Hockenson This is who should go challenge McCarthy. Makes
too much sense.
It does. And the offense fits his style. It's the same McDaniel O'Connell. It's not as many deep balls, but Tua's not very good at those anyway. So this is who should go challenge McCarthy. He's down on his luck. And I think we could get to a question that's going to come up later. But I think Tua could absolutely beat him out. And
now you're making me want to trade for Tua. Because the thought of that is exciting.
The thought of that is very exciting. I don't know what they do with. They have to cut him though, because the Vikings aren't going to eat that money.
Right.
So it's going to really depend on the Dolphins. But the reason I literally put him on that was supposed to be CJ Stroud as of 2 hours ago. But this this thought came to mind is that Tua should be the one challenging McCarthy in Minnesota. And that would be the perfect setup.
How far did Stroud fall? Like for people, because you got the island game against the Patriots where he was just.
The rankings haven't totally updated for players terrible. Yet because it's playoffs.
Yeah. Well, and because I'm in a couple of Discord servers and people were just, you know, bailing ship, jumping ship.
Ready to wash their hands completely of Stroud.
And sure.
All right, Zach, CJ Stroud, what's he worth? Let's just do it.
I'm asking you. That was me. But it was such a strange thing because Stroud is one of those players where we ran as a community way too far out over our skis after his first year.
It's what should warn you about Jaden Daniels, by the way. Everything.
Jaden Daniels is a different. To me, a different
player. I agree, but Jaden Daniels can't be QB1. We need to stop.
No, and I agree.
And he was for a while.
He shouldn't be. But we do that. We do this guilty. Run out unproven players. And I love Jaden Daniels. I traded in TA11, I traded Josh Allen to get Daniels as the rookie pick to get Daniels and Jordan Love and then another pick.
Okay.
So I ended up going back to back in TA11. I won the first 2 years that I was in there, and that was going into the second year. And I'm pretty confident that that won, but that still doesn't make him my quarterback one. Mm-hmm. It's wild. And then when we run it way back, and I don't even know where is Stroud at this point. What's he?
Right now, he's ahead of Baker, Goff, and Darnold. And I think right now, in the rankings I'm looking at. I think I'd take all three of those guys over.
I was going to say, is it, it's just because he's young, right?
Bryce is behind him. That's where I start to have questions. I don't know if I'd take Bryce over Stroud yet.
Yeah, and I agree with that too. I mean, Stroud's probably, I mean, again, all of these quarterbacks, or at least the first two and Stroud, are all in kind of a similar situation, even though Stroud has the job and has been a top six dynasty mm-hmm. asset, or top two dynasty asset after his first year. But like, he's still in that to me tier with Kyler Murray and Daniel Jones. And I think Kyler Murray, in terms of we love to use the word upside, but mm-hmm. Kyler Murray, in terms of what he can score in a season, I'd take Kyler Murray over
me too,
over Stroud all day.
Two top 10 finishes in his first year, yeah. 2 years, right?
He's been a top 12 quarterback every time he's played per game, yeah. every season.
Yeah. I think he was QB 6 1 year.
That was the Kingsbury year where he went bananas.
Yeah. But again, we forget, and this is Rich Rebar and the Konami code, but like, we forget sometimes how much running the football matters to scoring fantasy points.
Yeah.
And Stroud just doesn't do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. And this is how we're going to finish. What's he worth? Jay, rank him. Rank the four.
Ooh, do I have to?
No, but yes.
It's easy. Kyler number one for me.
Include Stroud.
That's where this is probably a hot take. I think I have Stroud over Daniel Jones. I'm going to go Stroud, then Danny, and then Tua Tagovailoa.
Unless he's a Viking.
He's a Viking, then Tua might jump to two, to be honest. Yeah, Tua. Right. But it's Daniel Jones. I just worry. He's got the mobility, but he's, mm-hmm. you know, we saw, especially even before he got hurt, he wasn't running a whole lot. And when he wasn't getting those you know, inside the five touchdowns, like, he was solid. He was definitely much better fantasy asset than he was with the Giants, but he wasn't, you know, that early season potential MVP for a couple weeks that we saw. Like, mm-hmm. and honestly, in Dynasty, I'm looking to get rid of Daniel Jones if I can. It depends what you get, but
right.
I think the hype is, and I would actually like you said, I think the time, if you're looking to do that right before he comes back, is when you want to do it. That's when the hype is going to be there. That's when, you know, here comes Daniel Jones. You know, when that hype starts talking, you know, right before people come back from injury or get traded, best time to trade them. That's when the value's at the highest.
Zach, same question.
Yeah, I mean, same answer. It's okay. Kyler, Stroud, Jones, and Tua, and then, you know, barring some miraculous, you know, cross country move to Minnesota.
Yes, I would have Kyler one as well. I would actually have Jones over Stroud. Actually, for something Jay said, he was a top 12 quarterback and he didn't run that much. He had a lot of inside the five touchdowns, but he didn't run that much. And he needed that when he was in New York. He looked better. He looked more competent than he did.
That Achilles, though, worries me with not even completely rushing, but mobility within the pocket and keeping plays alive and letting Alec Pierce get downfield, you know, that sort of thing.
And I'm a Stroud buyer, but here's why I would like Jones over Stroud. The difference between Jones and Stroud is Jones's worry is physical, not team future. Stroud is legitimately on a hot seat at this point. Like, if he has a bad quarterback season next year, I think he's actually in trouble.
Yeah.
I would roll with Jones for that reason, but I get your point.
But also, if they go get him another wide receiver who can separate, you know, the quick separation and the see it, throw it, instead of like trying to throw a guy open, all of a sudden I think Stroud is back.
You know, just get some time too.
I know you didn't like the Iowa State guys, but he's got a lot of receivers.
But they're not good. Like, again, so like we've talked about quarterbacks before. I know we've talked about this, but there are some guys who it doesn't matter. The receiver's open. They know that they can throw the ball up and the receiver can create separation. There are some guys who need to see the wide receiver get separation. And if you don't have, which is why he was so good with Diggs. And when, who's the Peter Howard's guy that was there a couple years ago? Yeah, Dell. Like
Dell's coming back, by the way.
Yeah. So like if Dell comes back or they put another player who can separate like that quick, allow Stroud to get the ball out, I think that makes a huge difference. I mean, do you remember watching Dak Prescott with big post-up wide receivers? Like when Dez was first there, he was so bad. And then all of a sudden they bring in Amari Cooper and Dak looks great because Amari Cooper separates and he separates quick and he shows like they're just quarterbacks that need to see the receiver open rather than, you know, throwing a receiver open.
Yeah. The Jaden Higgins community is coming for you, man. Because there's a lot of Jaden Higgins truthers out there, but I get it.
I mean, he's fine. Like he's an NFL player. When I say he's bad, I don't mean he's a million times better than I will ever be in my entire life. And
I know you're not attacking 1%. The man personally. No, I know you're not. Yeah.
But like just they don't separate the way that, you know.
He had a good back half of the season, but I completely understand what you're saying.
No.
I thought that was an excellent debut of What's He Worth, and that will be a segment going forward.
I like it.
Yeah. So normally I have the guest choose, but there's only one trade, so I'm going to do the TA trades. Trade X leagues are 12 teams, Superflex PPR tight end premium with 1.75 per tight reception and 0.05 per return yard in all leagues except TA1 because they never break, they always hold. We have only a TA2 trade is Devontae Smith for RJ Harvey straight up. Jay?
Give me Devontae Smith in a heartbeat. I mean, it was even with AJ Brown, you know, still sticking around. Harvey was not great, Bob. He, you know, he had a couple of good games, but that was touchdown dependent. I think J.K. Dobbins winds up back in Denver.
I do too.
He sounds like he wants to be there.
Yeah.
He's a Sean Payton kind of guy. I'm looking to, if I have any, I don't, but anybody who does have any RJ Harvey shares in Dynasty, I would be looking to bail. And I think that is a huge win if you can get a guy like Devonta Smith.
Absolutely. Zach?
I always build toward wide receivers, and I think Devonta Smith is a good one.
My vision for the Broncos is Ingram and Kamara at their peak, but that was when Ingram was actually stealing stuff away from Kamara, not Kamara as his current iteration. So can totally see that type of split happening where Dobbins is the running guy and Harvey's the passing guy. So I agree. Give me Devontae Smith. I know Zach doesn't like Harvey as much as Kamara, but that's not that I'm thinking the system, not the talent. Zach,
the talent matters.
I know. I'm talking about the split slash system. So, yes, I agree that Alvin Kamara was demonstrably better than RJ Harvey. Okay, listener questions. Dynastud's questions. He said, which QBs do you think end up out of a starting job after this offseason version of musical chairs, and which surprise QBs do you think wind up with a week one starting job when it's all said and done? Tua starting for Minnesota.
JJ's out.
Yep. But I think JJ's out regardless of who. I think JJ McCarthy is not starting week one.
Really?
Yeah. I think they're going to figure something out. I think Jefferson's little presser this week, I think, really opened some stuff up. I think he was very unhappy that the fact that they didn't figure out something else.
I mean, when you can't hit Justin Jefferson.
Literally. Missing here? A garage door. I mean, Jay, what are your thoughts on this?
My out was Tua Tagovailoa. So we're unless he's in Minnesota, I don't think there's a chance he starts for Miami. If he winds up, I could see a situation where he has to fight for the starting job. I would like to see him in Minnesota very much so. I think, I don't know where, I think Mac Jones is going to start somewhere in 2026. I think he showed enough to be a Brock Purdy light. I've got a feeling he's going to wind up on the Jets. It just feels like a really Jets type of move to go for Mac Jones.
Yeah.
707 yard slants to neighbors.
No, Jets, not Giants.
Oh, Wilson. Sorry, Giants. Jets.
Wilson, not
neighbors. Wilson will work
yeah,
too.
Same thing. Yeah.
Which I will be all over Wilson with as much as they're going to be passing the ball.
Yeah.
I don't say we're going to get there. He's,
oh, I'm sorry.
He's I'm at, got a question down there.
My bad.
I'm at starting. For starting, I think Cousins and Malik Willis. I do think Malik Willis is a Dolphin and starting next year. Because they've literally created the Packers.
One for out, I forgot to mention too. I think Matthew Stafford, I think he's done.
That was what I was thinking about as you were talking there. Does LA take a chance on Tua? Because Mac Jones isn't going to LA. San Francisco's not giving him up to a rival. I mean, who's the starter? Kirk Cousins, I guess, could go to LA if they want to do this whole win now thing. But
I think Sean McVay just goes in and just plays quarterback himself.
That would be great. Stetson Bennett, everybody. Here we go. Yeah.
I mean, I would definitely be interested in Tua in LA as yeah. well. I don't think.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys watch a guy named Benchwarmer Bran. He does like YouTube shorts and stuff like that. And it's like he pretends to be the GM and the coaches and all that stuff. It's hard to kind of explain him, but his bit was like, let's kill the Pro Bowl this week. And he's like, he was pretending to be Goodell. He's like, I will literally start Stetson Bennett in the Pro Bowl before I give up the money I make in the Pro Bowl. So, he's a very funny content creator. So go check him out. He's kind of like Annie Agar. I don't know if you've seen her. Like, it's the same bit. Kind
of. Is that the guy that did the Harbaugh and McDaniel interview where they're talking back and forth about pants?
I think so. Yeah,
okay. I think I know who you're talking.
Yeah,
about.
Yeah. He and Annie Agar do very similar content. It's like the pretend to be the coaches and stuff like that. But I think Kirk Cousins is starting for someone. I don't know who. I want it to be Atlanta, but it doesn't sound like it's going to be Atlanta. And Kyler's going to be a Jet, right? They have the cap space. They have.
Well, that's like who are the teams that aren't going to start their current quarterback. So
Pittsburgh,
the Browns, I think. I don't think Sanders mm-hmm. starts. The Jets,
the Cardinals,
the Raiders,
Mendoza. I think
yeah. So like Geno's, negative. Yeah. 15,000. So Geno's gone. Yeah. Yeah. So like.
Yeah.
So, but then who? Like, there aren't very many. I don't.
The Dolphins.
I don't think there are very many other surprises. Right. I mean,
the Saints are just going to go with Chuck again, right? We're not going to mess around with that.
Yeah, I believe so.
Chuck,
either Chuck is good enough.
The Colts are going to need someone to bridge, probably.
And that's great.
The Colts are going to need someone to hold down the fort, but they'll probably just throw Leonard or Richardson out there. So
maybe they'll get Matt Ryan to unretire for a few games.
Matt Ryan's on coaching or the GM of the Falcons now.
I just had to think of a random
that
old
That was cult. Such BS, by the way, that the Bears didn't get any compensatory picks for that.
Yeah.
What the heck was that? Zach, I don't know if you saw this, but the Falcons hired Bears assistant GM to be their GM, but because Matt Ryan was the newest, highest ranking official, the Bears get no compensatory picks It was the dumbest rule I've ever seen. The Bears would have gotten two compensatory thirds for this guy, and they got nothing. Ugh, doesn't matter. It's Bears, and no one cares. I understand. So,
NFL picking and choosing what rules they want to enforce when they want to enforce them.
Whatever. Look, if you're not losing first, don't come talk to me.
I know. All right, let's go to Chase Brown. He recently indicated his reps are working on to sign an extension. That makes sense. Where would he rank among dynasty running backs if he signs a solid extension, call it two or more years guaranteed?
I really struggled with this one because Chase Brown and I have had a very love-hate relationship. He's one of those guys, and I'll admit when I was wrong on him this season, but I have a hard time.
You were right for half a season if you didn't.
Exactly.
Like him.
Yeah, exactly. I can't get behind these guys that don't have a good yards per carry, don't have an explosive run rate, and are just dependent on volume. Now, like, he looked phenomenal the second half of this season. And that, like, I changed my tune. It was the week after I said, he's borderline droppable. I said, don't drop him yet, but he's borderline droppable. And then he went off and I was like, okay, this is why you don't drop him yet. Give him some time. I think I would probably have him as a back. I feel like the smart call is a back end RB1, 10 to 12-ish, but I mean, I really don't know if I could even get him that high because we've seen, like, look what the Patriots did with Ramondre Stevenson, giving him that big contract, and then a couple years later, drafting Travion Henderson. I think it would be the low teens.
The thing, though, that Chase Brown has going for him, and when he came out, this was one of the things that I liked about him, was I have a profile that I call a pass catcher plus, which is a guy who is really a receiver, but can, in a pinch, be the bell cow, which is what he's done the last 2 years in Cincinnati. But if you take that profile and say Cincinnati ends up signing him, but then adding another running back, the very worst you have is a pass catcher. So then you still have him catching 55, 60 balls. And so he's still a valuable piece. So, like, yeah, he's probably, you know, early teens in terms of a dynasty asset, but he also has that top 5, 6, 7. If he has that whole backfield, and gets the 200 carries and still catches 50 balls, now he's a top, 6, 7, 8, 9 running back. If he doesn't, then he's down in that 15, 16, 17, which is what you paid for him anyway. So, like, he's a great value running back because of that pass catching. And it was really funny. I don't know if you saw this, and I'll see if I can effort pulling it up, but Tommy from
Superflex.
Yeah.
Tommy Blair.
Yeah. So Tommy had a post the other day that was, and it wasn't a Chase Brown post, but it was a post about the number of times running back scored in the top 12 and the top 24 in total games.
Yes.
And so it was like Christian McCaffrey and all these players. And I looked at it and it was like 16 players deep. And I said, this post is awesome because it is Derrick Henry.
Yep.
Jonathan Taylor. And 15 guys who catch 50 or more balls a year.
Yeah.
And that's what I want. I want those guys. And whoever the cheapest guy is that does that, that's who I want. And if it's Chase Brown, great.
Yeah. And that's glad you added that point about the cheapest. And that's part of why I was off of Chase Brown this year. I just pulled up his ADP. He was going as RB10.
Yeah.
There's no way I'm taking him there. Like, he was going ahead of Bucky Irving, which, okay, makes sense now. But at the time, there's no reason he should have been. James Cook, Amarian Hampton, like, there's no way. I think you hit the nail on the head. Give me the guy, take as many shots at guys like that for a value. You get one of them, you're golden.
Well, and you look at the running backs who scored this year, and it's McCaffrey and Bijan and Gibbs. Obviously, Jonathan Taylor had a great year. James Cook, Brown, that's what these guys do. Is they're okay between the tackles, but man, they're adding 50, 60, 70 receptions, and in PPR leagues, that's money.
Yeah,
a target is almost three. A target, not even a catch.
Yeah,
a target is worth three times a carry.
It's the zero RB theory.
Yeah. It's like 2.85 times a carry.
Y'all want to play a quick name game with him? Because you guys, because Jay, you brought up guys who are like 5 or 6 spots ahead of him on the rankings. So let's go like right next to him on the rankings. Chase Brown or Saquon?
Chase Brown.
That was really fast.
That's close.
It's close, but
they're right next to each other in the rankings. It's supposed to be.
Man, no, I know. Oh, Saquon's such a better player, but I'm not sure he's still such a better player. That's the problem. I'm not sure Saquon
has
the
backfield to himself anymore, by the way. I think Bigsby might be taking his stuff.
And the Bengals should have a better offense. Okay, Chase Brown, you convince me.
Chase Brown or Kyren?
That's probably Kyren.
These two are like both guys that I've been out on and consistently have proven me wrong, but I think I'm going to go Chase Brown too, even though the right answer is probably Kyren, but I like...
Gorham's right there, man.
Right, exactly. You know, Gorham has the guy behind.
You know what's you know what's super funny is I end up with these guys because they're in the top tier or two of my running backs in rookie classes. And they flop in their first year.
Yes.
And then I just go get them for nothing.
Yeah.
And Corum is one of those guys too. Like, I like Corum. I like Kyren, and everyone hated him after he ran at the combine. It's like, awesome.
Didn't quite work out, but I traded for Trey Benson after his first year too. We might talk about him later.
I'm going to do one hypothetical name game. Chase Brown is a Bengal for 2 years or Javonte is a Cowboy for 2 years?
I think Brown.
I would take Javonte. I broke Jay.
It depends what you're looking for, because with Javonte, like, I think you're guaranteed a somewhere between RB8 and RB15 finish.
Sold. I'll take it.
No, don't get me wrong. But I think that if you want that dart throw of Chase Brown, if he does get these touches, we've seen he can finish inside the top three running backs. I mean, maybe not for the whole season, but and me saying all that, I'm still going to go with Javonte.
That's fair. Jay, are you doing rookie research, or are we turning this next question to Zach?
Well, so funny you say that. I have not yet. I am not a college football fan, but something that I am working on improving this offseason. However, I did come prepared.
Good.
So you can come to me, and I have an interesting way I've answered these.
Jay will go first, and Zach can clean this up. So from what we know so far, where's the value drop in the early first round? Seems to be top four right now from what I've seen. Is it weird to already have rookies you love and or hate? Because so far I love Mekhi Lemon and hate Jordan Tyson. Don't hate Jordan Tyson. Jay, what do you think?
So it's not what I think. It's somebody who I trust.
Fair enough.
What they think. My good friend Mike Tallis over at FTN, he is the director of charting. He is a college football fanatic and somebody who I trust anytime I'm starting to dive into somebody for college, he's the first guy I go to. I asked him for a couple of his loves and his hates. Guys above that he's higher on than the unanimous top three, Lemon, Tate, and Tyson. Let's see. He loves Denzel Boston, Malachi Fields, and he is not high on KC, and I'm probably going to butcher the last name.
Concepcion.
Okay.
Yep.
So those are the names that he went with, and he's got some details, but I'm not going to go into that because that's not my take, but I wanted to come with something.
Yeah.
But he's somebody who I trust, and I'm actually, it's funny you said that. I'm going to, I was planning on earlier this week starting, but with the snowy weather shutting down North Carolina schools for 3 days, I've been home with my children, so not had much time to dive into that, but I am going to, and
you can have them watch rookie film.
I would say you've got to get them it out. Started.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for my 2-year-old, who I'm deathly afraid of,
yeah,
I have a 2-year-old little girl about to turn 3, and she runs the house. So do. I was playing with Mario Kart Hot Wheels track for about 3 hours.
That sounds more fun than rookie film, anyway.
It really was.
All right, Zach, where's the tear break?
Man, it's to me, there are probably this is ugly. There are three running backs that I really like. Obviously, there's Love. I like Jonah Coleman pretty well.
That's the Washington guy, right?
Yeah, and Jonah hear about Emmett Johnson eventually.
And he's Twitter's darling right now.
He should be.
Yeah.
I said to Jay Mike, and I'll find the text that I sent to him, but it was something to the effect of he feels like Achan, Cook, and Devin Singletary had a wild weekend in Vegas. And that's who.
How did Singletary get invited to that party?
Well, so because Devin Singletary is always the guy that I go back to when you see a running back who you're like, oh, this is a space back. He's going to get outside. And then you watch him play and you're like, nope.
This is the Nebraska guy, right? Before we continue. This is the Nebraska. Yeah. Okay.
And he just for whatever reason is small and can run inside. Mm-hmm. And that's the Devin Singletary. He's always my go-to when that happens. So I think there are three running backs. There are three receivers that I like fine. And then I think I'd probably go back to running, maybe four, but I like obviously Tate, Jordan Tyson. People are going to find out that he is what they hoped Drake London was going to be.
Yes.
Like that's what he feels like to me. Yeah. He doesn't separate great against man.
He'll figure that out.
Maybe he's not great against press, great against man, but a great high point player. He's got this weird combination where he can run that quick slant, and then can go high point and be physical, play on the sideline. And then I know Chris Bell got hurt, but man, I like Chris Bell. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to be a steal for an NFL team because of the injury. And then I like Antonio Williams better than I like Mekhi Lemon. I think Antonio Williams, Mekhi Lemon's better than Mekhi Lemon's does.
We can't say hashtag big Clemson, big wide receiver. Cause he's like 5'10" or something. Yeah. Right.
But there's not a wide receiver in this class.
Tate's your one, right? From last week.
Tate's my one, but he and Tyson are pretty similar, and then Bell's right there. Like it's a tier at the top that's really like a tier 2.5 in a normal class. Like I don't think it feels very 2022, 2019 classes. But it just There's not a slot receiver that I love. And those are the players that I gravitate toward. Like it's Cooper Kupp, it's AJ Brown, it's Justin Jefferson, it's Jackson Smith and Jigba. Like those are the guys that I just love. There's not one of those in this class. Mm-hmm. There isn't. Tate's great on the sideline. He's a killer deep.
But it blows my mind he's 6'3", because he doesn't play like it.
No, and he's so quick,
too, I know,
for being as big as he is. And even Tyson is 6'2".
Yeah.
He's 6'2", 200, and you're like, man, what? Like, how do these guys get that fast? And then you've got Bell, who's just like, everyone's looking for the next Debo. And, he just is that physical, can spread the field on a route. Like he can run that cross and be quick sideline to sideline and get open. And it's like, oh, that's fun. So, but again, it's not a great class, and I haven't watched quarterbacks yet, but I'm not that excited about it. And so if you don't have quarterbacks, you have a thin wide receiver group, and you have one really good running back and a few guys who are okay. That's not a great class.
Yeah. I don't love that Jay's expert doesn't like Casey Concepcion, because he's my favorite in the draft.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. He's 11th out of the 11 receivers that I've watched so far.
I don't like his size or his inability to show up in big games. If he lands in the right spot, he could be okay. But it's not something I'm willing to risk at the back end of the first round of drafts.
Okay.
He's my least favorite wide receiver that I've watched so far. So, I mean, that doesn't mean that I'm right.
You've been more right than me. So what do I know? I said Abuka was a bust. So what do I know? So, Casey Concepcion's been my,
weeks, I mean,
yeah, right. I know that looked really bad for a while. I like Concept. Where's Sadiq? Have you done him yet?
I have not.
Okay.
No.
Cause Sadiq's going to be probably the fifth guy just cause, especially in trade X league tight end premium, Sadiq's, if he's a first rounder, is going to be probably the fifth guy in that top four.
Right. Yes. No, yeah. See, I haven't watched, I do, I do running backs and wide receivers first.
Yeah.
And like I'll alternate, like I'll watch, you know, 10 or so and then switch. And then, so Jay, I don't watch college football either. Like you and I, we're simpatico there.
There you go.
But like, as soon as it hits November, I start watching like cut-ups or full games if I have to with the, you know, plus 10 seconds.
Yes, yes.
And
remapping so, what keys are the fast forward.
Oh, and like, and I'll watch between 8 and 14 games of all of these players and just chart. And just be like, because I like to, you know, everyone likes the highlights and they like to be able to dream, but I want the foundation. I want what they do game to game to game to game, because that's who they are. And then if they do other cool things, awesome, we'll build on that. But if that's all they do, you can keep your key on Coleman. You know, I just don't want that.
Yeah, I charted for 2 years for FTN, and I learned more in that 2 years just charting games. Yeah. Yeah. And it's incredible. I think you hit the nail on the head and watching every single play and seeing what these guys are doing. And half the times they make their best plays on plays that don't go anywhere.
Yeah.
And seeing all those little things makes such a big difference.
Well, and the other part too, is like, I'll start early in a career and go, you know, forward. So then all of a sudden you see if a guy, you know, cleans up things that were issues. You see if there's improvement or if they're making the same mistake year over year. And so because the NFL is not a developmental league, the guys who already have a foundation of how to get better continue to get better.
Yeah.
And the guys who don't, flame out.
Yeah.
That's a great point.
I think the very short answer is this is a defensive draft with Bain and Bailey and Downs and Mendoza. You're just
making up names now.
No, I rely on Ian Fish. I loves your one, right? Just 101, I would assume. There's no big like guy who's going to take him over, I don't think. The way I would describe Sadiq is he's everything people wanted Harold Fannin to be coming out of the draft.
No,
except Harold Fannin
is what I wanted Harold Fannin.
I know, but this guy he's 6'3", 245, and he runs a 4.4 as a tight end. So
that's more than Harold Fannin. Yeah,
yeah. So he's the like dream that everyone pictured. So he's gonna be great, and he will definitely be a first rounder by every mock I've seen. So we'll get a lot of rookie stuff coming. Did anyone get eyes on the Senior Bowl? I saw Caleb Banks did well for the defensive side, but I didn't see any big fantasy guys do well.
Senior Bowl doesn't really do it for me. Like it's such a small sample size, and it's guys who have played 4 years, and if I haven't got enough tape on them in 4 years, then that one game,
yeah.
Like I love that guys do content, and you know there are some.
It sounds like no one went. It sounds like everyone's flights got canceled going over there because of the snowstorms.
Oh no! I saw
Nate Polvo went out there.
Yeah, I was saying I saw Nate go.
Nate, yeah.
Shout out the Polvos, by the way.
Yeah,
yeah. He's been on the show a couple times.
Sox fan.
It's my game. Yeah, there we go. All right. Well, we'll talk about. We'll move on from rookies. We'll have plenty of time to talk about it. Who are the boring vets, Jay, as everyone gets psyched for rookies?
I don't know if you would say this is a boring vet. Some, he's probably not boring to me, but it might be to some people. And it kind of rolls back into what we were just talking about. And Jordan Mason, I'm still in love with Jordan Mason. Ooh. And it actually started a few years ago when I was charting for FTN and I saw him coming in for San Francisco. And you could just see it wasn't just the system, the vision this guy has. And I'm not going to make excuses for him. He didn't do enough to take advantage of Aaron Jones being placed on IR. I don't know what it was, but the Vikings offense was a complete dumpster fire. I mean, this offense turned Justin Jefferson into wide receiver 32. So there is at least a little something there, but even as bad as the offense was and as bad as he was, the underlying metrics are still there for him. He had a 5.7 explosive run rate, 12th highest yards per carry, 0.19 missed tackles per attempt, which is ninth in the league. I'm all over this guy. I still think it's not quite the LaVisca Chenault where I'm not going to give up for no reason. The talent's there, and I think that if this offense is even just okay, less than okay, I think Aaron Jones is another year older. I still believe in Jordan Mason.
He is still there, by the way. I just checked Aaron Jones' contract. He has one more year there.
Yep. And you mentioned him earlier, Tank Bigsby. He's another one that I was all in on him. I don't think I was wrong in that take. He 5.6 yards per carry. Explosive run rate of 7.9. Like, good God, this dude is good. And Barkley's another year older. Even if he doesn't wind up going back to Philadelphia after next year, he's a free agent. And I could see him. This is more of a potentially a long-term move. If Barkley, you know, I don't think Barkley's going to completely go away, but if he gets 35-40% of the touches, he can put up flex numbers. And similar to what you said with Chase Brown, man, if he could get the majority of the touches, good God, I would have to change pants.
Yeah, he just looks better.
Yeah.
Over the last back half of the season, like, Barkley would kind of plod for 4 yards and plod for 4 yards. And then Bigsby comes in and runs like a sweep for 15. He just looks faster now than Barkley. So I agree with you completely. Zach?
I mean, I'm not going to get as deep as Jay did. Like, I got eight. Like, A.J. Brown is the boy. Like, A.J. Brown, I've listened to people talk about how bad he was last year. You know, how and obviously it was ugly in terms of his team situation. Do you know what AJ Brown put up for fantasy points last year? He was wide receiver 11.
He's wide receiver 22 in the rankings I'm looking at right now, which is crazy.
He's a boring guy I want to go get. Garrett Wilson is a boring guy I want to go get. Like, those are the types of players that I want. And you mentioned Corum earlier. Like, I want Corum on my rosters too. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's played long enough to be considered a boring vet, but like, he can be had fairly cheap. Mm-hmm. And if somebody like, say, Kyron Williams gets an all expenses paid vacation to Tahiti for like 10 weeks, all of a sudden Corum is doing some things. So, yeah, like, those are the types of players that I
AJ Brown was 22
in the rankings. Yeah.
What?
Behind Burden, Harrison, Flowers, Higgins, Brian Thomas Jr., Olave.
So wild.
Yeah.
I had him in my initial rankings for next year. I had him at 12.
Yeah.
Keep
in mind, this probably isn't updated for everything.
Well, but like, if you're making moves now, so this is when we're doing the Dynasty Dummies, we do so much psychological warfare. Like, everyone's playing game theory, and I'm like, no, it's behavioral economics, because game theory is rational and we're not.
Right.
And so you can take that irrationality, you can take people seeing AJ Brown being a dink and them going, I don't want him on my team, or he was bad, and they don't look to see that he played well. and you can use that to your advantage. And that's what I want to do.
Yeah. Speaking of problematic wide receivers, my guy was Brandon Ayuk. Because yes. He's like 26 and he's definitely not going to be a Niner. So he's going to go somewhere. And it's, he can go a lot of places. He could be a Raider. He could be a Titan. He could be a Jet. A lot of guys with a lot of cap space need wide receivers right now.
Could be a Giant.
Could be a Giant. I don't think like he's going to be a Giant because I think they're bringing Wandale back, but
I would be fine with that.
Yeah. If it's not Wandale, I could absolutely see him being a Giant. So he's one. Both Titans wide receivers, just following the Dable thing from before, Io Manor and DK. I'm not really in on Ridley, but if people want to sell me on Ridley, sure. Khalil Shakir is always underrated, so I'm always going to say him in veteran buys because he's like wide receiver 20 every year, and he's treated like he's wide receiver 40. And Theo Johnson, because don't see why the Giants would draft a tight end, and he did fairly well last year, and he's being treated like he's tight end 30. So
the only thing I'll say there is this is maybe my obsession with him, but I feel like Isaiah Likely is destined to be a New York Giant.
Oh, crap. I did forget about that.
That's the only thing.
Yes.
And I guess I dug a little deeper than you guys initially wanted with this, but one name I'll throw out there is Terry McLaurin with the boring vets. He's somebody who I was in on 2 years ago. I was out last year because everybody was drafting him based on that 10 touchdown performance. You can get him as your wide receiver too. I will take that all day long.
Yeah.
And I thought we had to finish with some Super Bowl food discussions because Rocky's not here. So, Jay, what do you got going on for Super Bowl? Food-wise, party-wise, anything?
My party will be with my 7-year-old son and my 2-year-old daughter because my oldest does competitive cheer, and she will be in Wilmington with my wife. So I've got dad duty for 2 of the 3 kids, but definitely going to do some food, a couple different things. Got to go with wings. I mean, you have to.
Let's start there.
Sometimes it... Normally, I would try to make them, but probably since it's just going to be me, I'll probably order them. But I got to ask you guys this: wings or flats?
I'm drums always.
Drums are flat. Wings are flats. Or flats is what I meant. Yeah.
Russ would know my answer. The answer is always yes.
Yes. Food. Yeah.
It doesn't matter what. Like food, yes.
Okay. Yeah.
If you had to, if your life depended on it, yes.
Yes.
Still yes. Yeah.
I'm a flats guy. But
yeah, so my wife is a flats and I'm a drum, so that's why we're
that works out perfect then.
Yeah, right.
Well, the flats, you can do the cool thing where you like hit it and then you just, it's gone. And I think there's more on the drum.
Don't get me wrong, I will eat a drum all day long, but if I had the choice. And then we do this, it's really easy, just nacho dip. You do get like the block of Elvita, do a pound of sausage, throw in some salsa. Let it all melt together, and then it's just like a just cheesy, melty goodness.
I'm thinking of doing something like that this year. We usually do chili, and because it's usually cold in Chicago at that point. So like chili and queso and stuff like that. It depends on like if I'm actually going to a party, but if I'm just hanging out with a couple of people, it's usually a chili or something like that. But all right, Zach, Master Chef, what do you got?
Should I channel Rocky and just say chicken fingers?
Yeah,
maybe no. So we're doing a buddy of mine. The last couple of years, we've gone over because he has a couple of young kids. Our neighbor has a 12-year-old, a 10-year-old, and like a 7-year-old. I've got a 10-year-old, a 12-year-old. So it's all going to be kid-friendly food. So it can't be anything too spicy. We'll probably get some pizzas because Caleb will now eat. He's branched beyond Rocky. Caleb, my 12-year-old son, who is
going to say he was the only guy who was pickier than Rocky.
Yeah, yeah. So he's autistic, has tons of food aversions, but has in the last year decided pepperoni pizza is okay.
Cool.
And so
that's a good lane.
So we'll do that. I'll probably do soft pretzels because he will do that. And then for me, I always make a pulled pork. So I'm going to get a pork butt and do that, like slow cook it. And yes. I'll bring buns and be able to do pulled pork sandwiches on the go. So
you can still watch
the game, watch the kids.
Yeah.
Make sure.
Do you do vinegar base more?
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing in North Carolina. Half the state's vinegar based, half's ketchup. And
yeah. No,
I'm vinegar. With you. But the good thing about with the kid, I 100% with you, the kids food kind of limits things, but you get the good snacks. You get the gushers, the zebra gushers. Cakes, the, I'm an Uncrestables man. I love me some Uncrestables. I get that. I don't care what anybody says. They're phenomenal.
So Caleb has developed into a, and it's got to be the party size. You can't get the family size. You can't get the regular size, but the double stuff Oreos, party size. And he'll just go in and get like, take five and go house them, which is bad for me because if they're in the fridge, I'm going to put like 8 or 9 in a bowl, pour milk and get a spoon.
Yeah.
And, go to town. Yeah, like an adult, you know how.
Yeah.
Man, I'm getting hot.
By the way, Jay, I wasn't laughing at Gushers. The only reason I don't have a big bag of gummy bears sitting on my desk right now is because I finished the last bag and I have to get more.
So. No worries, dude. No worries whatsoever, man.
That is like gummy bears are like my like mindless sitting there chewing on something.
That's all I am with Reese's. Any Reese cups, Reese pieces, man, I throw them down.
I wish we were on like video, like had people watching instead of being on the audio, because I would show you the pretzel. So we were at Universal the past week.
Yeah.
We got a pretzel at NBC Sports that was twice as big as my face. Caleb ordered it. I looked at it. I was like, oh, I'm going to have some pretzel. He housed the whole thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I've got a picture.
Like a growing boy he is.
I've got a picture of the before with the pretzel that's like bigger than he is. And then I've got a picture of the after where he's sitting with his hands folded with the big cat that ate the canary awesome. Grin. And I'm like, yeah, that's my boy. Love it.
That's awesome.
Proud papa right there.
Yep.
All right, well, we're at 90 minutes, so that's the end of our show sheet, so that's going to be the end of our show. Jay, thank you. Zach, thank you. Before we head out, Jay, you can start again. Why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do.
Yeah, Jay Felicio at GMNJ on the socials. I'm the lead analyst over at QB List. Best thing you can do is check us out. We're the sister site to Pitcher List, which I've – any of those who still play fantasy baseball, I actually started on fantasy baseball. I dabble a little bit, but they actually just had a PitchCon, whereas it's think the Pod-a-thon, but baseball. And they just raised, I want to say $15,000 for ALS nice. Research or something like that. So
nice. Congratulations.
Really cool about that. But we're the sister site to Pitcher List. And this is the first off season that we're really giving it a full go. We're going to have tons of content all off season long. So check us out over there. And the YouTube channel is still in its infancy, but that's also something I'm going to focus on this off season. So going to be putting out a lot of stuff there as well.
Yeah. Very cool. Zach, same thing for you.
And I'm at Tacit Assassin 13 Fantasy Cares, man, Fantasy Cares. And I know you're going to talk about it too, because you guys always do, but this community is incredible. And the amount of giving and the amount of good that you do, and it really is, it's all of you, it's everybody listening, it's everybody who plays in the Scott Fishbowl, it's everybody who donates to Fantasy Cares. You know, Scott is the face, and you see Russ and you see Bob and you see me on Wednesday nights, but it's really all of you, and that's the big thing. And yeah, Frank, you got behind you the Rook report that I did last year. That will be available again. All of my rookie write-ups for all of the players that I watch. There is no AI. There is no Chat GPT. It is all.
If you read the rookie report, there's no way it could be AI, because the witty stuff that comes out of that. So.
It's me. It's my creative writing degree and too much time on my hands. And that will be available for a donation to Fantasy Cares.
Yes.
And Bob Gilchrist dolls it all up, makes it look very pretty, professional and you know, it's trying to make a silk purse from a sow's ear, and he does a great job. And so that's where I'm at. And we'll be doing the Hoot and Danny starting probably 2 weeks from now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're getting there.
Before I do my closing stuff, big supporter of Fantasy Care. Shout out Liz Loza, Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Well done. Congratulations. So,
Scott also.
Sorry?
Scott also.
Scott too.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't see that. He's so humble he didn't post about it.
Yeah. I don't mean to steal this, but like.
No, do it. Yeah.
So he's on the board that votes for. And they kicked him off so they could vote.
Amazing.
Yeah. So he didn't have to feel bad, but he was also unanimously voted in. So Liz,
awesome.
and Scott Fish. So two board members.
Very big congratulations to both. Yeah, seriously. Much well deserving.
Yeah. Much deserved. So,
Our stuff, patreon.com/TriaxPod. You can watch us while we record. You can see Zach's beautiful cover of the Rookie Report. And Jay, I'm a total sellout. If you want me to put a picture of, I'm for sale. So if you want a picture behind me,
okay. We'll talk after the show.
Yeah. Also over Discord chat, the Cool Kids Club. And as Zach said, Fantasy Cares, SFPL Playoff Mania. Wide receivers, the double position, I think, this week, right? I don't remember.
I missed the show.
Right. Yeah, I think it was wide receiver. Don't quote me on that.
It was too cold for me to go outside and be on the show. It was 29 degrees, and I was like, nah, I'm not doing it.
Yes. That's decided on the hangout. I don't know what they're going to do this week because they don't have any SFPL content to do, so they're going to talk about food for 2 hours.
Food. Yes.
Yes. The Dynasty Hootenanny will be back soon, as Zach said. Trivia's back. I need to change that. He's been back for a couple of weeks, and of course the Wednesday and Hangout, the best thing to do on Wednesdays, unless Jay Felicio is recording, then he's the best thing to do on Wednesdays. So with that, that's the end of our show. As Rester Sher always told us, if you have a trading problem, you're never alone. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Frank.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts. And a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FF Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy fans, that is the best. See ya.